Morning. Today's reading is from James 3, 17 through 18. Please turn to James 3, 17 through 18 in your Bible, or turn to page 979 in the Bibles provided. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You may be seated. The children may go back to children's church.
I got to repeat everything all over again. See, I'm not the brightest bulb in the room. But there's different kinds of smarts. Whether you take tests, whether you can actually open the hood of a car and know what's going on. I mean, I open the hood of a car and I go, is that belt supposed to be turning or not? And then there's some people that'll touch it. Let me just tell you, if you open the hood of your car and something's moving, don't touch it. So I was listening to a news story, and this was very sad. A young girl, probably 16 or 17, had been found dead, murdered, on the wrong side of town, down by the railroad tracks. I don't know why the railroad tracks are always the wrong side of town. But she'd been found killed. And her friends were missing, and they were talking about her. And they made this ironic comment, you know, she was street smart. And I'm thinking, if she was street smart, she would have known not to be there. That's part of being street smart. Now, I understand there's other circumstances that could have gone on, but to be street smart means you know when to get out of trouble and stay away. You know, it was a sad story. I read another story just recently, and this one, I'm still not even sure if it's true, but the lady claims it's true. She writes a financial column for the New York Magazine. Okay. I would say she's well-educated, and we'll find out she's financially in pretty good shape. And she got a call from Amazon. How many of you ever got a call from Amazon? Amazon doesn't call you. Man, you can't even get them to email you. She got a call from Amazon. They put her in touch with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, who finally put her in touch with the CIA. Okay. The CIA is the Central Intelligence Agencies. They don't work domestically. They're not supposed to be here talking to American citizens. They're spies. They're spooks. They're supposed to be in foreign countries working. Well, somebody told her that her credit cards have been stolen, her Social Security card had been stolen, and that, you know, they were identity theft, and the CIA was going to help her, and she needs to go to the bank and get $50,000 out now. Not to talk to anybody. I read one article where she called her husband, but, you know, don't call anybody. We got to do this fast, quick. We got to get this taken care of. She went out and withdrew 50 grand. I'm sure you all have at least $50 you could withdraw. And then, okay, this is a financial columnist for the New York Magazine. She puts the 50 grand in a box. And the CIA... The CIA. I mean, if you watch Netflix, you know what the CIA is. They don't go driving around in white Mercedes picking people up with shoeboxes worth of money, unless you're a Russian agent. And she gave them the $50,000 in the box. And I remind you, she is a well-educated financial columnist for the New York Magazine. What also perplexes me that she'd be so willing to tell the story, because I'm like, I'd be so embarrassed, I wouldn't want anybody to know. Now, I can make fun of her, like one guy joked, so if Sasquatch would have called, would she have given him $100,000? I mean, what does it mean to be smart? And what is smarts versus wisdom? I would say wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge in smarts. So this lady might have been smart. And I say this graciously because it's easy to get scammed, but the story seems so over the top. She might have been smart, but she wasn't wise. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, reading through the book of James, a book of wisdom, a book of living our life for Jesus Christ, a book that just is very pragmatic in how to approach life. And let us take these words to heart, Lord, in your holy name, amen. Life is difficult, and although John Wayne probably never said these words, they are true. Life is hard, and it's harder if you're stupid. So, and I can speak from experience. I mean, I just done some things in life that it's embarrassing.
You're not alone.
I'm not alone. Amen. Preach it, sister. So, James is talking about works and deeds. Then he's talking about our words and how important our words are, and our words get us in trouble. And now he's going to wisdom. It's kind of a natural progression. And he goes in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? And probably too many people raised their hands. Do you know, when I took driver's ed, we had a survey, a national survey, and 7 out of 10 people thought they were above average drivers. Okay, first of all, that's not mathematically possible. I think 7 out of 10 people are below average drivers. You know, as the joke goes, the kids say, you know, I like driving with mom because when dad goes out driving, there's more idiots on the road. You know, I mean, most people probably aren't the best drivers. But who is wise and understanding among you? And we should all just keep our hands down and not say yes. Let them show it, not by their words and by saying I am, but by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. It is wise to do these things. Again, here's James, very pragmatic. Live out your life, a good life. What is a good life? Doing what's right, treating people fairly. He'll get into more of this. He gives very concrete examples of what a good life is. And here he says, by deeds, good deeds. That generally means helping others, being kind. It can mean something as simple as opening the door for someone. Or when you know someone who's in a financial need. Or giving someone a hug. Being with someone when there's a time to mourn. And it says, do it in humility. Do it with humility. Realizing that I too could get scammed. Now again, I made fun of that lady because I sometimes can't believe the story's true. But I got to be careful. Because I don't want to get scammed. And it's very easy to. Because, I mean, there's some of these people, they don't do good deeds. They spend all day figuring out how to scam you. I'm like, man, if you put your smarts to good use, you could run this country. If you put it to good deeds, it could be amazing what could get done. And you wouldn't have to worry about going to jail. But to do so in humility. So we got to be careful when we laugh at other people's misfortunes. You know, and humility, no humble brags. You know, well, that's just God. You did well, it's all God. Well, no, it wasn't that good. You know, but it's all God. And, well, no, it's just my gift. And, you know, they're trying to be humble, and the more they talk, the more they're kind of almost bragging. Or some pastors and myself, we joke about other pastors, not us, other, and their inability to count. You know, when a pastor gives me numbers, I'm always a little cautious. I was reading an article, and this company published newsletters and magazines, and they would do it, you know, like follow up, and they did a conference that this pastor was at, and they were getting information to publish it in the next article, and he gave them his attendance numbers. And the magazine writer goes, he knows we were at the conference, right? Because we all know this is double that was there. But this guy had pastor's numbers. That means if 50 people are at church, it's 100. If 100 people at church, it's maybe 175. That's really sad. That's not right. I mean, you might say we expect it from politicians. but not from pastors. We shouldn't get it from anybody. But we're called to be wise, to be humble, to do good deeds, to do what's right. And this wisdom comes from God. God calls us to be wise, to live a good life. And then James goes to the opposite direction, which I really don't see coming. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Don't boast. You think, who would boast? I see it all the time. I see workers sometimes brag about doing things wrong. I used to play flag football. And there were guys, we'd play on Sunday, and there were guys who would brag. They said, if I break my leg, I'm dragging myself into work tomorrow and claiming I broke it on the job. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, that's how I do it. Get it claimed at work. I'd never heard something. They're bragging on other people, like, yeah, that's a way to go, bro. Another half of us are thinking. And there's TV shows. You might have heard of some of these. My wife and I actually tried watching some of them, but we get so sick and tired by the arrogant attitude. One's called House. He's a doctor who knows everything. There's Bull. He's a guy who's a lawyer. And there's Liar. I think he's a psychologist. And these shows, the main character is the smartest man in the room every time. I mean, just intelligent, never wrong, knows the profession, puts everybody's down, is rude, is arrogant, unlikable, but ooh, he's so cool because he's always right. And you'd want that lawyer on your trial. You'd want that psychologist working on your problem. You would want that doctor taking care of you. And people love that stuff. Why? Okay, if you're middle management or low management, if you're a food service worker, you know, your jobs, you know, you're the average job earner out in the United States. Nobody's ever going to give you an award. You're making your dollar. You know, that sounds great. Wouldn't it be great to be able to go into work and just tell everybody off and just show them how smart you are and put your boss in his place? Put those workers who always give you a hard time, put them in your place. Put the board of directors in their place. So we live out our fantasy through a bunch of jerks. And that's what they are. They're jerks. I'll tell you, they're probably right, but they'll run over people to prove it. You can be right and still be humble. And it talks about denying. You know, they live in denial, like, oh, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm better than other people. You know, this side of the room sits there and they always say, but Doug, we're better than that side. I mean, we know that we struggle, but boy, that side. You know, what's your standard? Hitler? Stalin? I mean, better than what? We're not to be in denial and realize in humility that we need Jesus Christ. And he says, such wisdom, here's the part, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. It's not godly wisdom, it's man's wisdom, humanity's wisdom, which isn't always bad, but here it's talking about it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic, it's evil. I mean, to think that there's a demonic wisdom. Hitler and Stalin were demonic, very wise people. I mean, people get mad and you say, well, Hitler was a genius. He was an evil genius. Like, how dare we call him that? Stalin and Hitler, I mean, Hitler's 6 million plus. Stalin doesn't get enough credit. He's 18 million plus. Murders. You got to know what you're doing to pull that off. That doesn't happen by accident. Evil, evil people. It's not from heaven. It's demonic. It is not of God. It is something to avoid. It is evil. It is immoral. It is the opposite of God. And he goes on further in verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Envy, selfish ambition, none of that leads to health. You don't want to work in an organization where everybody's envious and self-ambitious. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get ahead in your job. But here we're talking about cutthroat, stab in the back, ambition. Envy, mad at anybody who has it better than you. It makes for a sick organization, it makes for a sick church, it makes for a sick family. James isn't calling for perfection. I mean, he's outright calling against evil. And James was in a church. When we read in the book of Acts, he was kind of the church leader of the Jerusalem church. It was probably out of a synagogue. But he saw that people were a mess. People are a mess. I mean, we love people. We love each other. But just hang around anybody long enough, and you'll see that we're all a mess. We're all in deep need of Christ. And it's foolish to deny that. It's wise to understand that we need God. That we need a Savior. That left to ourselves, we become envious and self-ambitious. I'm often surprised by what people will tolerate in church. I'm like, why didn't you just leave that church? It was unhealthy. Things were bad. You know, and then I'm often surprised how quickly some people will leave. They're thin-skinned. The pastor didn't shake your hand and you're leaving? Yes, can you believe that? People are a mess. But we're called to act in wisdom. There's the times to leave a church. It might not be the right fit. There might be selfish ambition in a church. Church isn't perfect. Selfish ambition and envy can destroy any organization. You know, there's a saying that says, it's amazing what you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit. And that's true. That is the opposite of a selfish ambition and envy. But let me tell you something. That's not as easily done as said. Because what are you going to do when somebody gets credit for what you did? Because you know it's going to happen. If you go do things and you just sit back and you don't take credit, and you've probably all seen this done, well, that was great. Yeah, I did a good job doing that, didn't I? I mean, I'm not trying to brag or anything. And you're like, dude, I was there. You came right before it ended. And they're taking credit. And if the person doesn't know, oh, yeah, isn't Billy Bob a great guy? So, yeah, we don't want to be envious. We don't want to be self-ambitious. And then our heart gets checked when somebody takes credit for what we did. What will we do? Will we stab them in the back? Will we return in kind? There's nothing wrong with getting credit. It's the people or the ones or our heart that seeks it. James gives a very pragmatic approach to life, about approach to wisdom, and brings out a point that we wouldn't think of. There's evil wisdom. And we have to choose to be godlike, to do good deeds that demonstrates our wisdom. We are wise if we choose to do good deeds. It doesn't always come naturally. Some people were raised in a family and that's just what you did. Other people are like, I didn't know you did stuff like that. Life is full of difficulties. It is. And so this saying is true. It's full of difficulties. Don't make it any harder than it has to be. Life will be hard enough. It's not how we want to live or how we want to run a church or run our family. You know, we want to act in wisdom, you know, or get smart. Use our brain. You know, you've all heard it. You can hear parents say it around the world. Work smarter, not harder. And then sometimes you got to do both. And we're called to strive for godly wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, where do we get godly wisdom? It's spirit ordained. It's from God. And the scripture Bible is the first place to begin to look. And all wisdom is God's wisdom, whether it's algebra or whether it's like reading the book of James. And seek godly counsel. The Proverbs in the Old Testament are a book of wisdom. And it says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. Now, it doesn't mean you listen to it all. But there's safety in that. Reading Scripture, getting godly advice. Don't listen to bad advice. I remember I was probably 22. I was living in Minneapolis and I was working a part-time job while I was going to school. I think at a box factory or something like that. And there's this other guy. He had been around the block. Okay, maybe 35, 40, I can't remember. You know how it happens when you're 22. Anybody over 30 is old. You know, 30 to 60, they're old. So I don't know how old, I can't remember. But he was given his secrets on life during break. He goes, well, if you ever get a job in a convenience store, you know, they expect to lose 20%. So what you got to do is stop your employees from taking it. Then it's all yours. I mean, I didn't say a word. It's like, that's not how I want to live. You know, I'm like, how do you stop your employees from getting it on? He was kind of explaining how you do that. Let me show you how to rip off a convenience store. I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, and that's why you're here making cardboard boxes with me. You're not nearly as smart as you think you are. See, here's the wisdom that comes from heaven. First of all, it's pure. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. He's given a list of what it should look like versus selfish ambition and envy. Pure means it's innocent. You know, Jesus Christ called us to be innocent as a dove, but shrewd as a snake. Innocent doesn't mean you let people walk all over you. To be pure, pure in heart. You know, watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you read. You know, I've never been good about going to horror movies. That's me. To me, they're just evil. And I've had friends who would go, and they'd always say, you're not going to go. I go, no, that's not for me. Peace-loving. You know, there's some people who just love to argue. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a good debate, but everything becomes an argument. And when you talk about those movies, Bull and House and Liar, those guys argued about everything, and they always won. There's nothing peace-loving about that. Considerate. Think more highly about others. You know, who wants to be around a person who brags all day and doesn't ask any questions about you? You know, some of the things we try to train our children is like, when you have conversations, ask questions. Be considerate of other people. You know, think where they're coming from. You know, I shared this like last week or the week before. When it comes to tipping, you know, people, well, I only tip people if they give good service. But, you know, you don't know why they're giving lousy service. Maybe they're a jerk. Okay. Maybe they just lost their spouse and they still have to work. It's a week later and they're already back at work because they're worried about their finances. You never know. Be considerate. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Be submissive. Again, think more highly of others. Thinking, what can I do to serve you instead of, who's going to serve me? Who's going to take care of me? It's like, who can I take care of? Who can I help? Full of mercy. We all want mercy. I mean, if I make a mistake, I want you to forgive me. Like the financial advisor who made a mistake. It's easier to laugh at her. It's like, Lord, I mean, she lost 50 grand. It's easy to laugh because it's hard to believe she did it. But I mean, she still lost 50 grand. That's obviously, she has some wealth and means, but that's still a lot of money. Instead of laughing, yes, we can learn from her without laughing and put her down and be merciful. To bear good fruit, to let our lives show what we're doing, to be impartial, to not show favoritism. You know how it is. If it's your family, well, we need to understand them and we need to forgive them. If it's somebody else's family, what's wrong with them? You know, they have a Father God just like we do. We all have a Father, the Lord God Almighty. And He sees both sides. And He's not partial to ours. The Lord's against unfair scales. So be impartial. Even think if it's my family or if it's me, I could still be the one that's wrong. And be sincere. I can't remember if I shared this before. It's something really recent I read. But a counselor, I think a licensed professor counselor, for some years, some two decades, she wrote a very self-revealing post. She goes, I had someone die in my family. And people were treating me the way I treated them. You know, counseling, empathy, nodding the head at the right time, putting the hand on their shoulder. And she goes, that's what I do. That's how I was trained to treat people. And she goes, it almost doesn't feel sincere. And then she goes, was I always sincere? Or was I just going through my counseling methods? It made her really think about how she treated people. You know, because they were just clients. And she did all the right things. But was she really sincere? And it made her think about it. And then there's more. Peacemakers. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. See, he goes through all these things. Evil wisdom. Godly wisdom. How we should act. And it's like the capstone to him is peacemakers. Peace loving. We're called to make peace. Not just run over people. Not just compromise. But to do the right thing and be peacemakers. See, the thing that's great about kids is if you're a 3 or 4 year old, they have a short memory. You take their car away, they might get mad. You know, at that age, they might bite you. 5 minutes later, hey, let's go outside and play on the swings. Forgive and forget. They're just great about making peace. I mean, sometimes they're a little naive, but they're quick to forgive and no grudges. To be childlike. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We have to be childlike, not childish. Children can be childish. That's a negative. But to be childlike, innocent, forgiving, making peace. They forgive each other, and it leads to peace. We are in a deep need for peace. Our political system, some say it's broken. I don't know. It's polarized. I don't know if it's any different. I mean, imagine what politics was like in the 1800s, the Civil War. Some people think we're close to a civil war now. I don't know. But I know we need peacemakers. I mean, when you hear about how to survive Thanksgiving with your family who thinks differently than you about politics. How sad that your family would split over politics. And it's important. Instead of saying, I'm not going to compromise, but I can live at peace. I can be a peacemaker. Peacemakers doesn't mean we agree. It goes beyond that. I'm willing to work through it. That in itself is a whole nother sermon. You know, we as individuals and as peoples need peace with God. What do they often say when someone's maybe at the doorstep of death? Are they right with God? Have they made peace with God? We're all called to make peace with God. And that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things we started here during Lent was, who's your one? Who are the people we know in our lives who need to make peace with God? Who are we that we need to make peace with God? You know, we'll close with the song, Just As I Am. And that is very true. God calls us to come to Him just as we are. But as I always add, don't expect to stay that way. God's empowering Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ in our lives, will bring transformation. We may not become perfect right away, but we are called to maturity and we will grow in the faith and we will choose godly wisdom as we make peace with God. Let us live a life that seeks godly wisdom. to live smartly before our Creator, to seek to make peace with Him, with humanity, to those who have hurt us, to choose to do what is right. It gave a list, being considerate, being sincere. Those are active choices. To live at peace with God, we need to live at peace with each other. It doesn't mean we let people run over us. In fact, it's just the opposite. We'll stand up to what's evil and what's wrong. And we'll live with grace and mercy. And to even those who have hurt us, we'll be merciful. Not that we'll allow them to hurt us again, but we'll be forgiving. And we'll live a life of peace before God and humankind by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, making peace with our fellow man and woman, but most importantly, making peace with our God. Let us close our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, let us call these words to our hearts. At times they may be easy to say and repeat, but Lord, oftentimes they are quite difficult to live out because there are difficult people around us. And oftentimes, Lord, we can be those difficult people. Lord, let us be a people of mercy and grace. Let us be a people that chooses wisdom to follow you. Lord, your word says, he who wins souls is wise. Let us seek out those, Lord, who would seek to live against you and show them the way of Jesus Christ. Lord, understanding how they are, but also understanding the powerful transformation power of the Holy Spirit in our life through Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.